the sound of Hugo Haas singing in one of his many hit movies from the 1930s. This versatile actor and director was hugely popular in the First Republic and was very much one of the stars of this golden period in Czech cinema. Despite his success, however, Haas's life and career, like that of so many other Czechs, was blighted by the tide of history that swept through Czechoslovakia in the 20th century. Hugo Haas was born in 1901 in Brno to a Jewish merchant family. Although he hadn't much of an academic career, he did attend the conservatory in Brno, where the composer Leoš Janáček was supposedly instrumental in getting him to study drama. Haas was subsequently hired by the National Theatre in both Brno and Prague, where he quickly rose to prominence as a gifted comic actor. Movie roles soon followed, and Hugo Haas rapidly established himself as one of the leading film stars of his generation. Czech film historian Pavel Tausig says Hugo Haas stood out among his peers because of his understated, realistic style of acting, which was quite unique in cinema at a time when most film actors were simply theatre thespians performing in front of a camera.
Hugo Haas byl jeden z nejčelnějších herců českých.
Hugo Haas was one of the most prominent Czech actors during the period when he worked in this country, both in the theater and especially in film. At the same time, it's very important to remember that he was one of the most modern actors around. Haas was one of the very first actors in the world to erase the distinction between an acting performance and normal human behavior. You can see this when he is playing a normal civilian for the camera. His performance is such that you get the feeling that you're actually watching a documentary. They say that good actors understand that you don't act in front of a camera, you should simply exist. Haas managed to do this to perfection.
To skutečně Haas precizně dovedl.
A myslíte, že vás poslechnou?
Tak jim řekněte, že jinak zajdou všichni na malomocenství. Pánové, ten lék proti Čengově nemoci, to je můj lék. Ano, pánové, to je můj lék a já jej nedám, dokud neslíbí, že už se nebude zabíjet. Řekněte, že jim to vzkazuju.
Although Haas initially specialized in comic roles, he could also play parts which had a serious edge, such as the embattled Dr. Galen in this film version of Karel Čapek's play Bílé nemoc, or The White Plague, which is considered to be one of Haas's finest works. This film was also adapted for the screen and directed by Haas himself, and this cemented his reputation as the Renaissance man of Czech cinema.
Žádáme-li pro svůj lid více prostoru, širší hospodářský rámec, i kdybychom byli nuceni zmocnit se ho na účet národů slabších a upadajících.
Bílé nemoc is known for its satirical portrayal of a bloodthirsty dictator, who is strongly reminiscent of Hitler, a figure whose shadow loomed large over Europe when the movie was made. Unfortunately, Bílé nemoc turned out to be a sadly prescient film. Just 1 year after it was completed, Hitler annexed Czechoslovakia and Haas was forced to flee his homeland for fear that he would be persecuted as a Jew and anti-Nazi sympathiser. His brother, the composer Pavel Haas, was not so lucky. He ended up perishing in Auschwitz and Hugo Haas was haunted by his death for the rest of his life. After fleeing Czechoslovakia, Haas eventually settled in America, where he continued to pursue a career in film. As he didn't speak much English initially, he had to adjust to not being a leading man anymore. He gradually established himself as a supporting actor, usually playing a sleazy foreigner or villain. Perhaps his most notable role of this period was as the Dutchman Van Brunn in the Oscar-winning King Solomon's Mines. When he'd managed to scrape enough money together from acting, Haas set about making his own films, such as Pickup and Thy Neighbor's Wife. These were usually cheaply made B-movies, which were a far cry from the work Haas did in the 1930s. Nevertheless, Pavel Tausig says that Haas's achievement in actually getting into a position to make films again should not be underestimated.
Samozřejmě, že ty filmy jsou velmi skromné, protože jsou natáčeny.
Naturally, these later films are very low budget, as he had very little resources at his disposal to shoot them. He made them as cheap, small-scale projects for as little money as possible. But if we take into account the fact that so many famous directors from the old world ended up in America after the war, and so many of them did not make it, then we have to look at what Hugo Haas managed to achieve as a success.
Although Haas remained a respected actor and had an influence on younger movie stars, such as Gregory Peck, the films he made in this period were not well received by critics. Besides their cheap production values, movies like Thy Neighbor's Wife were attacked for their lurid and tacky plotlines, which usually centred around a middle-aged man, played by Haas himself, being enticed and ruined by a younger seductress. Some reviewers found these movies so shoddy and second-rate that they described Haas as a foreign Ed Wood, and it's a label that persists to this day. Pavel Tausig admits that Haas's later films come nowhere near his masterpieces of the 1930s, but claims that they should be viewed within the context of Haas's life as an exile in America.
Ten tragický osud jeho rodiny a vůbec toho světového židovstva.
The tragic fate of his family, and of Jews in general, really, left his mark on him. This also manifested itself in his work. He tended to seek refuge in melancholy. Sometimes it was even a little bit kitsch. Most of the characters he played then were old men who were all alone and who nobody was interested in. These characters usually fell for a younger woman, but their love would invariably turn out to be nothing but a false illusion, and they quickly ended up having to face the harsh reality of their situation. These scenarios pretty much tied in with Haas's own personal feelings about living abroad and about the melancholy of his exile.
Haas eventually returned to Europe in the late 1950s and settled in Vienna in 1961, where he occasionally appeared on television. Despite the fact that comic acting was perhaps his greatest gift, he never made another comedy after leaving Czechoslovakia. He is said to have been planning to return permanently to his homeland during the Prague Spring, but this never happened due to the Soviet occupation of Czechoslovakia in 1968. Haas was deeply affected by the invasion and died a few months afterwards. In many ways, his career was indicative of the history of 20th century Czechoslovakia, in that it flourished in the 1920s and 30s, before being severely blighted as a result of Nazi and Soviet tyranny. Although Haas managed to make over 30 films in exile, he is best remembered today for the work he did in Czechoslovakia, which Pavel Tausig says is still highly appreciated.
I think his importance and popularity is confirmed several times a year when Czech television shows a film starring Hugo Haas. These screenings always get huge ratings, unlike many contemporary films shown in cinemas today, which only a few hundred or a couple of thousand people go to see. When a Hugo Haas film is shown, hundreds of thousands of people still tune in to watch, even after so many years.